Tonight will be the last message I'm going to preach out of the book of the Revelation for a while. After tonight, chapter 21 and 22 gets into heaven, and I've done some preaching on heaven. I will do more, and we'll go through this at some point, at some time. I want to close out chapter 20, Revelation chapter number 20. In Revelation chapter 20, we'll begin our reading in verse number 11, and I'm going to read down through verse number 15. Then we'll do a little bit of review, and I'll bring us up to date to what's getting ready to take place here. What we're going to read about tonight is a very sobering thing that's going to take place. It's the last judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And all the lost of all of time will stand before God this day. Now, there'll be no saved people to stand before Him to be judged. There's some debate on, well, will saved people be there? I think we will. Not to be judged, but to be a witness to the fact that you can be saved. Now, I base that on what verse number 12 says, and we'll get to that as we read it, and I'll point it out to you. So let's begin our reading. Would you stand one more time? I'm sorry to make you exercise. I know you hate that. Don't hate church. Don't hate me. Just hate exercise, all right? Revelation 20, we'll read verses 11 through 15. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Now here's where I believe we'll come into play. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, which is plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, help me to make very clear what your word has made very sure. And I pray that you would teach us from your word tonight why it is important for we as Christians to live right and to share the truth with others. God, I pray that you would help us speak to my heart and the hearts of your people about the importance of being a good gospel witness. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. Now, I don't know that I'm going to preach tonight. I'm certainly going to try to teach you some things, but and I may get to preaching, I don't know. But I want you to get this truth. This is going to happen. I want you to understand something, all right? Every person that's ever been born into this world, or that ever shall be born into this world, has a date with Jesus Christ. You're going to stand before God Almighty. All right? I'm going to stand before God. Now you get to choose, and I get to choose, how we're going to stand before Him. We can either stand before Him as the Lamb or the Lion. As the Savior. As the Savior, just go ahead here. I'm not going to battle with that. I know when I'm whipped. I learned a long time ago, technology can whip you. So I'll go right here. As the Savior or as the Judge. And so you get to decide. But I will tell you this. You are going to stand before Jesus one day. And whether you stand before Him as a lamb or a lion, as your Savior or your Judge, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're going to do that to the glory of God the Father. The Bible teaches this. Now, if you'll look here in verse number 20, what we've studied is, you know, we've seen the rapture of the church in the book of the Revelation. We've seen the tribulation period. We've seen the great tribulation period.
We've studied the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We've studied the Battle of Armageddon. We've studied the fact that this last battle is going to be fought when Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years and Christ is going to set up his kingdom upon this earth. We talked about some of the things that are going to take place in the millennial reign. And I'll tell you, brethren, I'm looking forward to the millennial reign. I'm looking forward to heaven. But did you know before heaven, we're going to spend 1,000 years upon this earth with Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And the Bible teaches that. And I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to happen. At the close of that 1,000 years, in verse number 7, the Bible says, when the thousand, chapter 20, when the 1,000 years are expired, it says that Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he's going to go out and he's going to deceive the nations. I find it very interesting that that is the same word that is used in Matthew 25 when it talks about the sheep and the goat nations and how that the sheep nations are going to go over into the millennial reign. I don't think that it's the exact same sheep nations, but I believe there'll be people with natural bodies. There'll be children born. There'll be people in natural bodies in the millennial kingdom. If you're saved, you'll have a glorified body, and you're not going to be deceived, all right? Once you're saved, you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so please don't think, well, my goodness, you know, I'm going to go through the millennial kingdom, I'm going to get tried one last time, and if I fail, then I'm going to meet my final doom. I'm going to end up happening to me what happened to these people. It says in verse 8, and shall go out, Satan shall, and deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. And they went out at the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints of God, or the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And so God is going to take care of that crowd, all right, once and for all. Now, I think there's several things that could be said. I don't want to get into this tonight because I have a message that I know that God wants me to preach, but I will tell you this, okay? If you think good environment, if you think, well, you know what? The devil made me do it. The devil's been in prison for 1,000 years. And these people's heart has not turned to God. Man is born bent, broken, depraved. You understand that? You say, well, the devil made me do it. That's why I do wrong. The devil makes me do it. Well, the devil tempts us to do it. But the devil can't make you do anything. And God can make you do it, but won't make you do it. So the devil can't make you do it, and God won't make you do it. Because God made you a free moral agent. And whatever you do, you will do of your own free will. And you're going to give an account, as I am, of everything that I do in my life. And so because of that, we need to live life in a very sober manner and take life serious. Because God gave life to be taken seriously. And so that's what's happening here. The Bible says in verse number 10 that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. We've seen back in chapter number 19, if you'll go back there just for a moment, the latter part of verse number 20 of chapter 19 says that the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. And I believe these are the first two people that will be cast into the lake of fire. See, hell, it's where people that are not saved, that's where they go. We'll see just in a moment, hell is going to deliver them up to be judged, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, the second death, the Bible says that if you are part of the first resurrection, look back in chapter 20, look if you would, it says in verse number 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. All right? Now that's the resurrection you want to be a part of. That's the resurrection of the just. You do not want to be a part of the resurrection of the unjust. We're getting ready to witness the resurrection of the unjust. All right? Now, why is it blessed are those that are part of the first resurrection? Look again at verse number 6. He said, because on such, those that are part of the first resurrection, the second death hath no power. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I don't even believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. What matters is that you trust it. See, some people think, well, you know what? If what I believe and what I don't believe will determine what is. No, it doesn't. What God says determines what is. And so I just want you to know that. Please understand that. Truth determines outcome. Decisions based on truth is going to lead to a profitable outcome. Decisions that are not based on truth generally end in a not so good outcome. Learn to base your decisions on truth. All right? On truth. Anytime I hear somebody start out, I get real nervous. Does it really matter at the end of the day? What matters is what is, not what one thinks. And so as we grow and mature and learn about life, we understand that we need to focus and hone in on what is. What is, not what I think is, but what really is. And so the first resurrection is when God is going to resurrect, and we've seen the first fruits when Christ resurrected from the grave, and then there's going to be the rapture of the church and then the tribulation saints. That's part of the rapture. We talked about the harvest time. We talked about the gleanings. That's the first resurrection. Then it says in verse number 6 of chapter 20, it says, the second death hath no power. What is the second death? What is that? Well, notice if you would, in chapter 20, look if you would in verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Here it is now. This is a definition, a biblical definition of the second death. This is the second death. The second death is when every person that has rejected Jesus Christ, every person that is not saved in the grace of God, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now listen, whether you agree with that or you don't agree with it, whether you think that that's a good thing or not a good thing, I'm not glad that people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. I'm not glad about that. But I know God is right. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. Instead of me getting concerned about, well, what about people that's never heard? I want to be concerned about people that never tell. Are you telling people about Jesus? Don't let the devil sidetrack you now. Don't spend your life saying, well, what happens if this or what happens if this? No, you do what God called you to do. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility before God. Instead of me getting caught up in these endless questions, what I need to do is fulfill the responsibility that God's given me. What is my responsibility? Well, part of my responsibility as a Christian is to tell others that God loves them and that Jesus died for their sin. Amen. I'm sure I'm glad someone told me. Did you know that someone told you or you wouldn't be saved? Someone told you. Amen. And so why don't you tell someone? The second death. Look in chapter 21. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. We get another definition of the second death. Chapter 21 of the book of the Revelation, verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right? So this is the second death. The second death is total separation from God in a place that is the lake of fire. All right? And that will never change. That will never change. Now, how do you get this sentence? This is the penalty. How do you get this sentence cast upon you? Look, if you would, in verse number 11. We have a courtroom scene. And in this courtroom scene, John said this, and I want you to think about this word, the setting. Okay, here's the setting. The setting is, in heaven, there's a judgment bar. Okay, there's a courtroom. And the scripture says, John said in verse number 11, I saw a great white throne. The word great there just simply means that it's powerful. You know, it's powerful. There's no higher court. There's no higher judge. It's a great. The word white doesn't speak of power. It speaks of purity. You're going to be judged by one who's never made a mistake. A man's not going to judge you here. God is going to judge you. God is going to judge in this time. Those that are lost are going to be judged by God, not by Christians, not by angels, but by Jesus Christ, as we shall see in just a moment. So he said, I saw a great, which speaks of power, white, which speaks of the purity, and he said a throne, which speaks of the purpose, because it's like a judgment bench. And he said, I saw this great white throne there in verse number 11, and he said, I saw him. Now here's the judge. Who is the judge? I want you to take your Bible and just quickly turn to John chapter number 5, and this, I believe in using scripture to interpret scripture. In John chapter number 5, in verse number 22, Jesus made it very clear that God the Father hath committed all judgment unto him. Jesus is going to judge you one day. You have an inescapable, unavoidable date with Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're going to have that date with him at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, you're going to be at this judgment that we read about tonight in the book of the Revelation. The book of the judgment of the great white throne. In John chapter 5, look if you would in verse number 22. In John 5, in verse number 22, the scripture says this. For the Father judgeth no man, this is Jesus speaking, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus is going to judge you this day. Now, I said earlier that Jesus can either be your Savior or your judge. And you believe me when I tell you, you want him to be your Savior. You do not want him to be your judge. Listen, there will be no throwing yourself on the mercy of the court in this day. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter number 20. So please don't. The devil's a liar. And he tells all kinds. He's the father of lies. He tells all kinds of lies. And he may have some believing, well, you know what? I'll get a second chance. Or I'll throw myself on the mercy of the court. The only mercy you ever get is in this life. You can read Luke chapter 16 and find that to be so. The man there said, Father Abraham, he said, have mercy on me. There's no mercy in this day, okay? Now, I thank God that in our day, there is mercy. And even when there's judgment, it's mingled with mercy. Aren't you glad for that? But now, brethren, in this day that we read about here in chapter number 20 of the Revelation, there will be no mercy. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice the power that John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants us to understand. The power, the awesomeness. We throw that word around like it's, you know, we speak about a car being awesome or a piece of furniture being awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. And the scripture says here, I want you to notice what it says. It's drawing a picture of an awesome judge. Look what it said in verse 11. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There's no place to hide. When Adam sinned in the garden, he and Eve, they ran and they hid themselves among the trees. And they thought they were hiding. God knew where they were. But there's nothing to get behind. There's nothing to offer as an excuse. There's really nothing to say. It's an awesome thing. It said the earth and the heaven, look at it one more time, fled away. And it says, and there was found no place for them. There's been a lot of discussion about exactly what does that mean. I believe it means there's found no place to duck and dodge and hide. You know, a man will get under conviction and he'll hide in a bottle. He'll hide in a pill. He'll hide in a drink. He'll hide in a situation. He'll hide. He'll try to smother out and snuff out the guilt and the shame and the conviction. But in this day, there'll be nowhere to hide. There's no place for them. To hide from what? Notice, if you would, the next statement in verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, look at this statement right here, stand before God. I want you just to think about that for a moment. One at a time, each person that has rejected, each person that is not saved is going to stand before God. Now, when I say stand before God, God the Son, Jesus. Now, you say, what's that going to be like, preacher? Well, I really don't know. I have an idea. If you'll turn back to chapter 1, I think that John started out the book by telling us something that we should know so that when we go to witness to people, we would understand that this is not a walk in the park. This is not something to fool around with. This is not something to make jest of, to make light of. This is very serious here. When people die without Jesus, they go to hell, brethren. Now, preacher, this is the 21st century. Surely to goodness you don't believe in that place. I believe the Bible. Every word of it. I believe every word of the Bible. Just because science and culture and society has changed doesn't mean the Bible has. The Bible has not changed. And God's not going to change it for others. He's not going to change it for you, for me, or any other generation. He hasn't and he will not. And we need to understand that. I don't say that. Listen, I don't say that to sound like a smart aleck. I say it because I want you to get it. It's so. We live in a time when people think that God is some genie in a bottle or some magic trick. That God is the creator God who holds the worlds in his hand, who is in control of everything. And that God is going to judge one day. Look in chapter 1. Remember what it said? It said, I saw the small and great stand before God. Jesus said, all judgment the Father hath committed unto me. This is what Jesus looks like when John, in chapter number 1, verse number 12, look at it. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And when you read, you find that those seven golden candlesticks are the churches, the seven churches. And so here's one standing in the midst, in verse number 13. He said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto, here it is, the Son, don't miss this now, of man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps, which is the breast area, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, which is a picture of judgment. Fine means purified, pure judgment, unadulterated judgment. As if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Could you imagine somebody standing before something? Maybe, I've never been to Niagara Falls, but I've heard that that's one of the most awesome things, to stand there and just to hear the roaring of the waters. And when Jesus speaks, it's just going to sound like the scripture says, if you'll look at it at verse number 15, that his voice as the sound of many waters. You think somebody's literally going to say, oh, objection. No. No. I'm going to stand in awe, trembling in fear, as their works are read, as their sins are exposed, as every opportunity that God gave them to be saved is brought up before them. And they see all the missed opportunities. He said in verse number 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, this was a saved man. This was John. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is a man saved in his grace. This is a man that was a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And it left him like this. Could you imagine a man that's standing before him guilty? Unsaved? Separated? We go back to chapter 20, and then we get a picture of what this statement in verse number 12, when he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's who. That's who you stand before. Small and great. So, well, now, what does that mean? Well, I wrote down a few things here. It means that it doesn't matter if you're a murderer, an adulterer, an idolater, a liar, a church member, a religious person, a good person. You know, lost has a lot of area under it. You can be a church member and be lost. I'm not trying to get you lost. If you're saved, thank God you're saved. But you don't want to wait till you get here to find out you're lost. You don't wait till you get here to find out you have no relationship, nothing real. That you just relied on signing a card or being dunked in a baptismal pool or taking up religion and deciding to do better. You don't wait till you get here to find out that. That's why the Bible says that you ought to examine yourselves. As Christians, we ought to examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith or not. You don't want to wait till you get here. Is that right, church? Absolutely. And so he said here, he said, I saw the dead, small and great. Now the dead are those that have not been quickened. Dead in trespasses and sin. It's sinners. It's people that have never been saved. He said, I saw them. And he said, they, no matter if they were big shots or little shots, you know, doesn't matter if they're religious or a serial killer. Doesn't matter if they're on the deacon board or if they're on death row. If you're lost, you're lost. You see, if you're saved, you're saved. And so he said, I saw them small and great. And he said, they stood before God. Look at this in verse 12. He said, so we go from the setting to the summons. He summons them up. Look in verse number 13. He said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You see, death and the sea delivers up the body. And hell delivers up the soul. And every person that is not saved, that has never been saved, is going to stand before God one day. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I wish you could see every fiber in my being. Every fiber in my being is raising its hand saying, yes, I do. I believe it because God said it. God said it. It's so. It's so. And he said, the sea gave up, verse 13, the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. Now watch this statement. I found this very interesting. And they were judged. They stand before God, the Bible says in verse number 20, to be judged by the Son of God. Jesus said that the Father hath committed all judgment to me. They're going to stand before Jesus. They're going to be judged by him. And the scripture says that they're going to be judged, watch this now, every man. There's not one going to escape it. I hope you'll somehow highlight that, underline it in your Bible. Every man. According to their works. Isn't that something? Now, you're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace. But according to the Bible, you're going to be judged by your works. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The thing that the devil has tried to use to confuse people and to try to deceive people. Well, you know, you're saved by works. No, that's a lie. You're saved by grace. But you're going to be judged by works. Is that what the Bible says? Look at it one more time, brethren. Now listen, I think everybody here knows we're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Right? We're saved by grace. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. We're saved by grace. Without the grace of God, no one would be saved. So, well, I'm saved by God's love. No, you're not. You're saved by God's grace if you're saved. That's right. Now, it was God's love, listen to me now, that sent his Son to die in your place so that his grace could be extended to you. God could not have even extended his grace to you or me had Jesus not come to die in my place. Now, you see, the justice of God has been meted. The payment has been paid. And now God can extend his grace to us on the basis of the finished work of his Son at Calvary. Aren't you glad for that, Christian? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Praise the Lord. So look here. It says that every person that stands before him is going to be judged. Now, there's two sets of writings here that I want you to notice in verse number 12. He said, I saw the dead, in verse 12, small and great, stand before God, and the books, that's the plural. There's a lot of books. I find it just, only God can do this. Even though some people are pretty good at keeping a book on you. Amen. But God keeps a good book. All right. God, his writings are accurate. All right. I want to give you some scripture. I'm going to ask you, well, let me finish this up. Then I want you to look at something. I'm going to ask you to look at some scripture with me. He said the books were open. You see that in verse 12? The books were open. And then he said another book. Now that's singular. Okay. So the books are the books that record the works that every man is going to be judged by in verse number 13. You see that? And the book, do you see it? I want you to see it now. This is important. This is important that we understand something here. The only way to get in the book of life is to be saved in the grace of God. It's the only way. And so if your name, according to this scripture, is not found in the book of life, look in verse number 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. You see that in verse 15? That's the same book that's mentioned in verse number 12. That book is going to be open. And it's going to be opened as a testament that Jesus died for your sin. Now, he died for you. You say, well, that makes me saved. Oh, no. No, the blood has been shed. But it's up to you to apply it. And your faith can appropriate, it can activate, it can make the blood effective in your life. The blood of Jesus is shed for all men. The scripture teaches that. You understand that Christ Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You don't have to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. The blood of Jesus was shed for every man. But not until we apply that by faith, by confessing our sin and saying, I believe that Jesus did die for my sin and that he was buried and he rose again. Then that faith, that act of faith by trusting Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for our sin applies that blood for the cleansing of our sin and the forgiveness. Amen. You understand this? This is Bible, all right? This is the Bible. I'm not talking to you about what Baptists believe. I hope Baptists do believe it. I'm a Baptist and I do. Amen. But I don't believe it because I'm a Baptist. I believe it because I'm a Bible believer. You know, so you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal or anything else. You go to heaven because you're a child of God that has received Jesus as his or her personal Savior. And your name must be in the book of life if you're going to escape the second death now. That's very clear in the Bible. Let me hasten. I want to be through here in about 5 minutes. I didn't say I would be. I said I want to be. And so it says here in verse number 12, the dead, the latter part, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's not going to be a fun day. So now we've seen the setting. We've seen the summons. God's going to call up all the lost. Death and the sea are going to deliver up the bodies. And hell is going to deliver up the soul. And every lost person is going to stand before God. And they're going to be judged out of the books according to their works. Is that what the book says, brethren? That's what the book says. Now, I don't care what someone's told you. Well, you know what? You can go to a holding place. You can go to purgatory. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible is always right. Man will mix you up. Okay? Man, some knowingly and some ignorantly. And I don't say that to be mean. I just say it to be so. Man can mess you up. Man can lead you wrong. Stick with what God has said. I've tried to learn in my life, stick with what the book says. Man can tell you stuff that gets off base, brethren. It gets out of bounds. What saith the scripture? I want to know what this book says, because I'm going to be judged by it, and so are you. All right? Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to a few scriptures, and then we'll bring this to a close. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes. So we're going to move, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to move, and they say, where's Ecclesiastes? Well, you can look in front of your Bible and find it, or you can go to Psalms, and the next book is Proverbs, and then there's Ecclesiastes, okay? Now, we're going to move from the setting to the summons, and now we're going to move to the secret. One day, when these people stand before God, by the way, it's not going to be just the lost people that's going to have their secrets revealed. The Bible says in First Corinthians chapter number 4, about to move away from that, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5, it says that there's going to come a day when the counsels of our heart are going to be made known. And God is going to search every man's heart. And God is going to reveal the things that's in man's heart. In other words, God is not going to only reveal what we did. He's going to reveal why we did it. Sometimes we, and I read the Bible different now that I know this. And I hope this will help somebody. It's not that I'm something. It's just I was taught this and it's helped me. Sometimes when I read something that Jesus says or does, I wonder, why did he say that? That sounds kind of short or brazen. See, I have to take into account, he knows the secret of people's hearts. I don't. People can fool me with their voice and with their words, but you can't fool God. And so when you read the scripture, I go back to the turning the water into the wine when Jesus spoke to his mother, when he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? He knew what was in her heart. I don't know what was in Mary's heart, and the Bible doesn't say, but he knew. He knows what's in your heart too. He knows what's in my heart. He knows why I preach. He knows why you serve. He knows why you do what you do. He not only knows what we do, he knows why we do what we do. That's even a more sobering thing of he knows what we do. He knows why we do it. When you look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, look at verse 14. Now, this is the preacher speaking. That's what Ecclesiastes is. This is the preacher speaking, a wise man. He said, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. He said, there's something you need to know. I'm going to close this book by letting you know. If you look at verse number 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What a statement. He said, listen, I'm going to round this out, and I'm going to tell you the purpose of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. All right? If you're not doing that, you're missing the purpose of life. And he said, here's why you need to do that. Now, don't you miss this. Look at the next verse. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Remember what the scripture says? And they shall be judged, every man, according to the works. Now, I'm going to be judged because of my works, too. And you are, too, by the way, at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. Thank God for that. But I'm going to be judged for my deeds, my works, which is my service. So not my sin, but my service. You understand that, right? And so he said, for God, in verse 14, shall bring every work into judgment. Watch this now. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You say, well, I've got that hid. The preacher don't know about that. Mom and dad don't know about that, you know. My boss man don't know about that. God's watching. God's watching. He's recording too. You see why the old timers lived an upright and circumspect life? And why you and I ought to do the same? They understood the principles that I'm preaching to you tonight. And I believe many of you do. I really do. It's an awesome thing to know that God is watching and God is recording. Now we'll close with this, all right? Go back to chapter number 20. We've seen the setting, we've seen the summons, the secrets. God's going to reveal them one day. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'm telling you, brethren, Paul wrote in Hebrews, he said, all things are naked and open unto him in whom we have to do. God's watching. God's watching. That's something. When you're alone and you think no one knows and no one's watching, there's a God in heaven that's watching. Now, I want to turn to that just for a moment before I give this last statement, because I don't want somebody leaving here thinking, well, you know, should I be sad that God's watching? Well, I don't know. You tell me. If you're sad God's watching it, it's probably because you're not doing the right thing. Sometimes it does my heart good to know God is watching it. It kind of keeps me accountable. How about you? I'm glad God knows some things. As a matter of fact, I'm glad God knows some things that man doesn't know. Man thinks he knows. God knows. As we close this out, the great white throne judgment. I don't know who's going to be there. Lost people. Can I call them by name? No, but I know some people that are not saved. You do too. And if they don't get saved, their name's going to go right in here. Under small or great. He said in verse number 12, he said, I saw the small and great. I saw the dead, small and great. And if you know people that are not saved, one day their name's going to fall in that category. All right? I want you to do something about it. I want to do something about it. I want us to pray for missions more than we've ever prayed for missions. Listen to me, brethren. I'm serious when I say this. I want us to pray for our missionaries more than we've ever prayed for our missionaries. I want us to pray, God, help me to be an encouragement to my missionary brethren. That they would stay on the field, they would continue to sow the seed of the gospel and win souls for Jesus Christ. Brethren, if missionaries don't stay on the field, if people don't go into places that there are no churches, that there's no light, people will not hear and people will die in their sin and they'll go to hell. And it's very real. It's real. If you don't tell a family member, if you just think, well, maybe somebody else will tell them. So, well, my family lives in Montana. Well, send them a letter, place a phone call, do something. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Let them know. You can't make them get saved, but you can tell them how to be. Amen? Don't put it off. There'll be a lot of procrastinators in hell. One man said the road to hell is paved with good intention. A lot of people intending on going to heaven went to hell. You do know that. And many people will tell you, well, you know, I don't plan on going to hell. Well, there's a lot of people who didn't plan on going to hell that are in hell even tonight. Because, you see, tomorrow is on a fool's calendar when it comes to being saved. You understand that. That the devil can get you to put it off one more day. When God said now was the accepted time. Now was the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. And so I just pray that we would understand the seriousness of this. I don't know the statistics. They say that I think like every 13 seconds a soul goes off into eternity. Could you imagine that? That was about 13 seconds. There goes another one. There goes another one. And one day it's going to be somebody you know. Somebody you love. You. Verse 14 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found, verse 15, written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I wish people didn't die and go to hell. It's not God's will that people do. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you helping somebody to know Jesus? What I just shared with you tonight, just simple stuff. Just simple, but very profound truth. Okay? God, don't let us get away from it. Don't let us get so busy with us and things that don't matter that we forget what does matter. All right? Live your life. Enjoy your life. God has given us all things in life richly to enjoy. Live your life. Enjoy your life. I'm not saying live like a hermit. I'm not saying to go, you know, bury yourself in sackcloth and ashes. But it wouldn't hurt us to fast and pray over a soul every now and then. Amen? It wouldn't hurt us to hand a gospel tract to someone every now and then. And I believe many of you do that. And this is just saying, let's continue to do it. Let's continue to do it. Let's stand to our feet. This is the message that God's laid on my heart. Let's bow our heads together. Did someone come to your mind as I was preaching tonight? Maybe a family member, co-worker, a friend. Maybe somebody who used to be a friend. Maybe someone you're at odds with. You're bickering with. You're saved and they're not. Or you're saved and you're not sure they are. I don't know. I just want to encourage you now. I just want to encourage you. Please, take this as a word of encouragement and admonition. Sow the seed. Eternity is a long time. Some people don't have enough light to save them, but they have enough sin to condemn them. Don't you forget that. And you may be the light that God's going to use to help get them saved. God, help us to be that light. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful